Welcome to the Play, Sleep, Grow podcast. This episode reveals why your baby is taking short naps and what to do about it. So freshen up that cup of coffee, switch that load of laundry before you forget, and listen in. You're listening to the Play, Sleep, Grow podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Thompson. I leveraged my skills as a speech-language pathologist to research and discover the gentlest and most effective sleep training methods and strategies available for our three children, successfully helping them to learn to sleep through the night and take regular scheduled naps starting at 3, 4, and 5 months old respectively, effectively reclaiming confidence, structure, and peace in our home, and creating a better, healthier relationship with my husband and our children. On this show, you'll discover bite-sized, actionable strategies for all things baby sleep and development, and avoid wasting time, money, and tears on strategies that simply don't work. You'll gain a sneak peek into the most reliable, evidence-based strategies available. You'll also get exclusive access and discounts to time-saving, headache-crushing tools and our unique Play Sleep Grow sisterhood to make your sleep training journey and your relationship with your child easier and more grace-filled than you ever dreamed possible. Subscribe now and listen in every Monday. So go grab a cup of coffee, snuggle that baby close, and welcome. You belong here. Does trying to figure out your baby's ever-changing sleep schedule make you feel like finding a nice, secluded spot and burying your head in the sand? Well, stop the search and step away from the sand. As an exclusive gift to you, I have created a 60-second sleep schedule quiz. All you have to do is complete the 60-second quiz, and a sample sleep schedule specifically for your child will be sent directly to your inbox. And yes, it's completely free. Simply go to www.playsleepgrow.com/sleep-schedule-quiz to claim yours now. And I'll drop a clickable link in the show notes. Welcome back. I'm your host, Ashley Thompson, wife, mom, licensed speech-language pathologist, and certified pediatric sleep consultant. In today's episode, we will be pulling back the curtain on why your baby is taking short naps. You know what I'm talking about. She falls asleep in your arms, and when you try to transfer her, suddenly she's up and she won't go back to sleep. Or maybe you get her to sleep in her crib, but like clockwork, she's up after only 20 to 30 minutes. And you're glad that she's got some sleep, but you're ready to pull your hair out. This is episode part 1 of 2 because there was so much meat in this episode that it got too long and I just had to split it into 2. Today in part 1, you will learn 3 of the 5 most common reasons why your baby is taking short naps and the most reliable ways to solve this problem once and for all. There's a lot of really great info in here and I'm excited to share it with you. So buckle in. Stop me if this sounds familiar. You've finally soothed baby to sleep. She's so peaceful and serene, you're sure she's in a deep enough sleep. You rock her as you transfer her using the recommended method of feet first, head last, onto the crib. But sure as you know what, the moment she is down, she wakes up. Your heart is in your throat. Your agitation is sky high. What the heck? You followed all the recommendations for how to successfully transfer baby to bed, and now she's wide awake. And you know from experience that there is no way she's going back to sleep anytime soon. Or maybe this sounds familiar. You've been practicing getting baby to fall asleep in her crib. It was touch and go at first, but it's been a week or two, and now she's falling asleep on her own. Success! But like clockwork, she starts to squirm after only 15 to 30 minutes. Like, come on, you worked so hard to get to this point, and the success is so short-lived. You're glad she's falling asleep, but there's barely a chance for you to go pee and microwave your coffee before you have to go get her again. Now, don't get me wrong. You love your baby with your entire being. Your heart literally aches with how much you love her. But you just need a freaking break. Sound familiar? Let me start by putting your fears to rest. You are not doing anything wrong. This is totally common. But that doesn't mean it has to be this way. Just because something is common doesn't mean that there is nothing you can do about it. Let me say that again. Just because something is common doesn't mean there is nothing you can do about it. Illnesses are common, but you can reduce how often you get sick by washing your hands regularly and not licking the sidewalk. Tantrums are common in 2- and 3-year-olds, but that doesn't mean you can't help your kiddo reduce the number of tantrums that they have and work their way through the tantrums they do have. And short naps are common, especially in the beginning months, but that doesn't mean there's nothing you can do about them and you just have to suck it up and deal with them forever. Just because something is common doesn't mean it's required. Now let's talk about why your baby is taking short naps in the first place. As we mentioned briefly earlier, short naps are most common in the early months. From birth to around 15 weeks, babies' naps typically range anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours. And in those earliest weeks, some naps can even stretch to 3 hours. There are a few different causes for the variability. One, in the earliest weeks, baby doesn't produce melatonin the way she will when she reaches 3 to 4 months. As I'm sure you're aware, melatonin is a key hormone that makes you feel sleepy. So if baby's body isn't producing it like it will later, her drive to sleep and sleep for long consolidated periods is reduced. Another cause of the variability is her immature circadian rhythm. Your circadian rhythm is your body clock. It tells your body when to sleep, when to be awake, and more. And at this point in her growth, it's still developing. A third cause of the variability is the startle reflex. That reflex where baby throws her arms out like she's falling, and it usually calms down and it goes away around 3 to 4 months. But before that, it can cause baby to wake. And a fourth cause in those early months of this variability is baby's early sleep structure. In the beginning, baby has 2 sleep stages, quiet sleep and active sleep. Now let's talk solutions for these age and development causes of short naps. One, if the issue stems from baby not producing enough melatonin or her immature circadian rhythm, you can't exactly speed these things along, right? What you can do is expose her to natural light during her daytime wake periods, which helps to support her circadian rhythm development and learning to differentiate day and night, which will help her avoid day-night confusion. When it comes to the startle reflex, a swaddle is majorly helpful. It makes her sleep environment more like the womb that she's snug and her arms meet resistance when that reflex hits. And here's a pro tip. If your baby is fighting the swaddle, keep trying. Really, many babies who fight the swaddle actually need it the most to help them feel snug and secure. And lastly, if your baby still has that early sleep structure of just quiet and active sleep, be aware, 50% of baby's sleep is active sleep. In active sleep, she squirms and grunts and wiggles around, but she's still asleep. Many new and even seasoned parents make the mistake of thinking that baby is awake or waking up during this type of sleep. So instead of just letting baby keep sleeping, they jump in too soon and scoop baby up, which wakes her up. Let baby squirm and grunt. If she opens her eyes fully and begins to squawk and cry, then you know she's up. And do remember that each of these growth and development causes are impacted by adjusted age if your nugget was born early. So if your baby was born early, these developments most often come into play later than their same age non-premature peers. Now let's talk about another common reason why your baby is taking short naps. Your baby may be unable to fall back asleep independently. Why does this matter? Because your baby sleeps according to his sleep cycle. Whether that's the two-stage sleep cycle of newborns or the four-stage sleep cycle that babies transition to around 3 to 4 months, at the end of either kind of sleep cycle, your baby has a brief awakening. This is totally normal. It's a good thing, a survival instinct, in fact. When your baby comes to the surface of sleep, and if the environment is exactly as it was when they became drowsy and fell asleep, they might slide into another sleep cycle. But if it's not, that's when baby's body forces him fully awake, because think about survival. If we fall asleep and the cave is quiet and dark and our bow and arrow are leaning against the wall, that's great. But at our brief awakening, if our bow and arrow have disappeared or there's a mountain lion at the entrance, well, we need to wake up ASAP. And this many years later, but at our brief awakening, if our bow and arrow have disappeared or there's a mountain lion at the entrance, well, we need to wake up ASAP. And this many years later, that survival instinct is still there for your baby and you and me and everyone. So if he's getting up or getting help to fall asleep, any kind of help, and that help is no longer there when the brief arousal hits, or if his sleep environment in general has changed, his body will often make him wake up fully. This means that if he fell asleep with a pacifier, or while feeding, or rocking, or listening to music, or even white noise, and then when he has a brief awakening, if any of that is different, there's a really good chance he's going to wake up all the way. Because his brain tells him, nope, this is the way it has to be. You fell asleep in that environment before, so you can't get back to sleep until that happens again. That's why sleep props that you don't have to replace, like white noise that you keep on all night, are great. Because most people need something to help them fall asleep. And if it's safe and you don't have to replace it over and over and over, then that's a win for both of you. But if you do have to replace it over and over, like rocking to sleep, and it's becoming overwhelming to you, or baby isn't getting quality sleep, that's when it can become an issue. Now, many newborns need significant help to get to sleep in the beginning. Can many newborns learn to fall asleep independently? Yes. Is it as common a skill as when they reach the 4-month mark? No, it's not. So do keep that in mind. And many babies younger than 6 months still need a night feed. And in the earliest months, sometimes multiple night feeds. Additionally, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the AAP, does recommend keeping the pacifier until 6 months because there's a correlation between pacifier use and the reduced incidence of SIDS, this sudden infant death syndrome. At the same time, you can begin to practice helping baby fall asleep as independently as possible. Do this during the first nap of the day, when your baby is least likely to become overtired. Keep the same sleep environment every time you try. Super dark, white noise, fan on for air movement, swaddle if the baby is not rolling or sleep sack if she is, in a crib, bassinet, or pack and play, baby on her back. Get baby to bed shortly before her wake window is up and see how it goes. Try it for 15 to 30 minutes. If it doesn't work, take her for a walk and let her fall asleep in the stroller. And use whatever nap routine you've been using for the rest of the naps that day. Try again for the first nap on the following day. And here's a pro tip. Lots of babies who rely on mom, especially for nursing, to fall asleep, struggle to fall asleep independently if she's still in the room. So if it's not working with you in the room, try a few days of putting baby down and stepping into the next room to see if that makes a difference. You don't have to go far and bring the monitor with you. You just have to be out of smell range. Now, what if you have been practicing allowing baby to fall asleep independently, but he's still waking up after those darn 30 minutes? Two things. One, it takes time. When I work with a family, nighttime sleep typically falls into place when you're 100% consistent with your sleep plan in the first 2 weeks. Sometimes it's as little as 1 week, and sometimes it's up to 2 weeks. But naps take longer, almost always, even when you're 100% consistent with the sleep plan. Sometimes naps take up to 3 to 4 weeks to fall into place. And secondly, a very common mistake that many parents make is intervening too quickly when their baby wakes up. It is harder to fall back asleep during the daytime. It's just a fact of the matter. Sometimes light is peeking in behind the room darkening shades as hard as we try. Sleep pressure is lower. There are more house noises. Let your baby squirm and fuss a little. Give her a chance. This is a new skill and she needs the opportunity to practice. I mean, if she's poopy or she's screaming, pick her up. But if she's just complaining or wiggly, let her be and see what happens. She may surprise you. Now let's move into a third most common reason why your baby is taking short naps. Enter the snack and snoozer. Maybe you've met him. He's the baby who seems ravenous all the time. But he doesn't cluster feed, meaning that he's not taking a bunch of full feeds in a relatively short time frame. No, this boy latches on, guzzles a couple of gulps, and promptly falls asleep. It's so incredibly hard to get him to wake up to finish that feed. And yet, sure enough, 15 to 30 minutes later, he's up and at him, ready for another wee snack. This boy loves to fall asleep at the breast. It is the greatest thing in the world. He would do it all the time. In fact, he does. Falling asleep at the breast isn't bad. It isn't wrong. But when your baby is a religious snack and snoozer, he may only be getting the foremilk, meaning the thinner milk at the start of the feed, and not the fattier hind milk that babies get at the end of a full feed. Foremilk is still good quality milk, but he's not filling his belly, so he's hungry again a lot sooner. Also, if he's just catnapping all the livelong day, he's also not getting quality sleep, and likely neither are you. Optimally, we want him to be able to make it through at least a complete sleep cycle before waking up fully, which for newborns can be approximately 30 to 45 minutes. So the solution is this: make sure he's getting full feeds. This means that you can't hold back on all those little tricks to help him keep him awake during his feed. Listen, I get it. You're exhausted too, and you hate hearing him fuss when you use the wet wipe on his cheeks. But he needs that full feed. We don't want him to be over full where he's spitting up all of his meal as soon as he shifts positions. But we do want his belly to be full. Some ways to keep him awake during a feed are: 1, say his name, talk to him; 2, tickle him; 3, undress him down to his diaper if it's warm enough in the house; 4, use a wet wipe or washcloth on his cheeks and neck; and 5, switch which side you're feeding him on. Keep him awake during the feed. Fill his belly and see how that next nap goes. And try it again the following time too. That's a wrap for today. Today has been part 1 of 2 of 5 key reasons why your baby is taking short naps. Today, we covered three of the five most common reasons for why your baby is taking short naps. 1, age and development. 2, unable to fall back asleep independently. And 3, not getting full feeds. And we also discussed what to do to solve each of these short nap-inducing triggers. Join us next week for the final two most common reasons why your baby is taking short naps. You're listening to the Play Sleep Grow podcast. I'm Ashley Thompson, and I can't wait to see you next time. Now go snuggle that clever baby of yours. It's time for them to play, sleep, grow. If you found this episode helpful, would you please share it with your favorite mom friend? My mission with this business is to help 1,000 growing families regain peace and security through one-on-one consulting for sleep training as quickly and gently as possible. And if you leave me an honest review on my Apple Podcasts, screenshot it, and email it to me, I will send you your pick of one of my three most popular resources. Ending legal note. Please remember that this is a podcast for personal use. It is not medical advice and should not be considered or used as such. I am not a medical sleep professional. And though I am a pediatric sleep consultant and speech-language pathologist, the information I present on this podcast is general information that I have gathered through my own education, research, and experience, and not specific to you or your child. Before implementing any ideas or suggestions I may provide, please clear it with your or your child's doctor first.